Hello and welcome to the Champions for Social Good podcast, the podcast for people dedicated to social impact. I'm Jamie Serino, Director of Marketing with the MicroEdge Division of Blackbaud. I'm here today with Dr. Rebecca Harden, Performance Improvement Consultant and Volunteer Program Director with the Federal Sector. Welcome, Becca.
Thank you, Jamie.
So, Becca, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about the work that you do?
I would love to. Thank you. So I have my doctorate in organizational psychology. And for the past 4 or 5 years, I've been working in human capital development and most recently looking at how we apply volunteerism to our human capital strategies within the federal sector. I conducted my dissertation here at the agency looking at the return on investment of our academic outreach programs on our employee engagement strategies. And based on huge return on investment in that area, I've been able to build the business case for standing up the first federal employee volunteer program. So that's what I've been working on for the past couple years is getting that instituted. And then we also have our combined federal campaign, which is the only way for federal employees to give donations to charities. And so we're right in the middle of our campaign season right now. So that's all about the workplace giving portion of that. So all about, you know, giving, volunteerism, and then how organizations use that for human capital development.
That's great. So previously within the federal sector, this was a difficult thing to do, or it was like all over the place and you've organized it. Can you kind of connect the dots there a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main volunteerism we see a lot in the federal sector is academic outreach. So most agencies employ their employees to send them out to volunteer with local school systems. So doing judging science fairs, tutoring, different things like that. And so this initiative was to expand our approach beyond the academic sector so that we're contributing to any charitable cause. So that's really the piece. And some agencies do it kind of ad hoc, or they'll have, you know, specific days that they go out. But this is the first time that we're kind of trying to bring together a program where we're actually going out, we're building partnerships with local nonprofits, we're identifying what their volunteer needs are, and then we're working with our workforce to help align the right people to those opportunities so that it's a win-win. It's giving our employees the experiences that they need and giving them skill development. If that happens to be the thing that they're interested in, we've had a couple of events that were skills-based. It might be team building, it might be just wanting to give back. So just aligning the right audience with what the volunteer opportunity is. So it's creating those one-on-one partnerships between us and the nonprofits, and that's really that new piece that we're bringing into it.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think we're reading a lot about that in the news now. And so you and I actually met at an Impact 2030 conference, and you heard a lot about this and the need for something like this and the need to get the private sector involved, period. So can you talk a little bit about that, about Impact 2030?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So Impact 2030 is the only corporate-led initiative to realize the Sustainable Development Goals. There's 17 goals to improve our world by the year 2030. And this is the corporate-led initiative to realize those goals through corporate volunteering and human capital investments. So again, kind of trying to mobilize the assets that private institutions have out into the community to help achieve these goals. So it's all about those cross-sector partnerships, building partnerships between businesses and nonprofits and government and academia, and us all coming together to make the world a better place.
Nice. And you know, it all sounds like, well, okay, but it actually is more difficult to do. And there are companies out there that want to be doing stuff, and sometimes they don't know what the first step to take is. And, you know, of course, they could partner with a local maybe homeless shelter or something like that. But beyond that, they're really not sure what to do. And so that was something that I discovered through that conference. Do you have any advice for people that run CSR programs or people that run employee engagement programs? What's a good first step to take to get to skills-based volunteering, to maybe take a next step outside of their community and do something bigger?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think for us in the federal sector, we have similar challenges, but some unique ones as well. So for the federal sector, we're not able to endorse specific causes or charities. So whereas a lot of times we hear when we're working with industry, we talk about kind of aligning their strategy with a cause area and kind of honing in on that. And we didn't really get the privilege of honing in our scope and our scale. So ours is very, very broad. But like I mentioned, we still target it to specific populations. So we still get the benefit of kind of creating those alignments. So my recommendation is, you know, to start with a pilot. That's what we do. That's always a good thing to do, is kind of do a little test and see how things work. So for us, one of the first things that we did, we had a skill community. So within our organization, we have different skill groups of employees. And so me and the director got together and kind of talked about, you know, within her population of folks, what types of things did they need experience in? And it happened to be support services roles. And so we looked at, you know, what are the different types of experiences that would help them gain more confidence in their role while also allowing them to go out and give back. So we just did some brainstorming, some mind mapping on the wall, and identified some different skill areas and experiences that would be helpful for them. And then we looked at the nonprofit community and identified some organizations that would provide those opportunities. So they've recently done three different volunteer activities kind of targeting that. So one was signing folks up for Thanksgiving meals. So doing calls, kind of doing that customer service support for a nonprofit. They've went in and helped organize, you know, the office space for a couple of nonprofits, so helping more with that infrastructure piece. And it was a huge success, and it aligned that group of employees with a few nonprofits so that it was something that would help them with the experiences they were trying to gain. So that's kind of it from that skills side. You know, find a group, a pocket. Maybe an organization's often have development programs, like a leadership development program, and identifying what are the experiences that those employees would benefit from, and then how can we find that in the nonprofit community so that we're volunteering, we're helping our community, but we're also helping our employees gain those skills-based experiences. And then, aside from the skills-based piece, a big thing that we look at here in the federal space is connecting employees to their causes. So as you kind of do some pilots and start scaling, it's very important to understand what your employees care about. So we see suggestions like that a lot in the literature is, you know, surveying your employees. A lot of corporations have climate surveys and employee engagement surveys. So find out what those causes are that the employees care about and try and, you know, create some partnerships and some opportunities that also aligns with their passions and what they want to give back to, as well as the organizational strategy and values.
Yeah, that's good advice there, too, is do a little bit of listening. And then what we've been reading as well is, you know, using it as an opportunity for leadership development, skills development, as you were saying. So you can end up accomplishing both things at the same time. So that's really good advice. Something that we had recently done was job shadowing. And this was out of our New York City office, and we had partnered with the YWCA. And they were partnered with a school, and they brought some students in. And, you know, in polling the students afterwards, it was rewarding for them and helpful, but it was also rewarding for the people in our office. And we did a lot of prep work in the beginning to get people involved and to explain to them what was happening, why we were doing this. And, you know, from what we've been seeing, that's helpful in creating a good volunteer experience, is this sort of pre- kind of briefing, and then a sort of then post briefing. Can you talk a little bit about that, about setting up the right volunteer experience so people really get something out of it, as opposed to, all right, I went to the soup kitchen, I ladled some soup into the bowls, and then I went home. Can you talk a little bit more about making it more fulfilling for the volunteer?
Absolutely. And that's huge. I'm really glad that you brought that up. Because that's really what we want to look at, is kind of moving from this idea of transaction to transformation in everything that we do. So we're doing that a lot here, both in the workforce giving piece, so where we're giving donations, also to the volunteering piece. So how can we transform individuals and change the way that they think and behave and perceive the world around them based on having these opportunities? Because a lot of times it's very easy for us to kind of get in the motions of life, right? We go to work every day, we go home, we've got all the things we have to take care of with our family and our houses and our bills. And it's easy to kind of lose that connection to your community and to the world around you. So that's really what we want to do, is kind of reconnect folks to the community and the context in which we work and live every single day. So a lot of best practices that I've seen, both in the literature and also in the volunteer activities that we've been coordinating, is a big piece is this concept of kind of meeting people at the highest level of their contribution. So when you're looking at setting up a volunteer activity, kind of matching not only your organization to the nonprofit, but also your employees to the opportunities. So each time that an organization comes to me and they want to set up a volunteer opportunity, we meet first to talk about, you know, what do your employees care about? What are their, you know, different skill levels? What experiences would be beneficial to them? How can we maximize this experience and kind of match your group to an opportunity that's just going to be the most bang for the buck for both sides? You're providing the most skill and experience to the nonprofit and the highest level of engagement for the employee. So that's kind of that upfront work. And then when you're advertising it, you want to call that out. So we actually just sent one out today to another organization who's going to be going out and volunteering. And we made sure to outline that. This is the volunteer opportunity. Here's why we chose it. Here's what's in it for you. Here's what you're going to give back to the community. So you have that language up front for them. And then on the, you know, nonprofit side, and certainly us as well, so I tend to go on a lot of these volunteer events to kind of help, you know, orchestrate the experience if needed. But there's one nonprofit in particular who just did an amazing job. We did that earlier this year. And the way they set it up is when your employees, you know, arrive, the first thing that they do is give a tour of their entire nonprofit. So there's only one place that they were going to be volunteering. They were going to be serving meals for the day. But it was important for the nonprofit to provide the context of the entire charity to that employee so that they know that. So that even though they're going to get plugged into, you know, you might be putting ice in a cup for 3 hours. But by the end of that orientation and tour, I know exactly the impact of me putting ice in that cup. You know, I'm the first person that this individual accessing services may see that day. I may be the first person that has smiled at them and treated them with respect. And the better that experience is for those folks experiencing homelessness and accessing those services, the more likely they are to access all the other services the charity provided. And they had a very, you know, holistic array of services from, you know, helping people find jobs and, you know, get homes and case management and social work and all of those types of things. So it was neat because you got to see the entire system and then where you plugged in and what your contribution was. And then you volunteered, and then at the end, as you mentioned, you have that debrief. So at the end of the volunteer experience, everybody sat around in a circle, and they talked about, you know, what are you going to take away from today? What was your impact? Who will you remember that you interacted with from the day? So it really gives us that time to orient ourselves to the experience, you know, what is our impact, and then at the end, kind of reflect back on that experience so that hopefully now it's creating this change within yourself. You're really connecting to it versus, like you said, if I showed up and put ice in a cup for 3 hours and just went home and never had that orientation and that context and that debrief, it may have not had a lasting impact on me. And our goal is to kind of create these, you know, community citizens, these global citizens that have this broader context and connectedness to the world around them, so that even after this one volunteer event that we've exposed them to, hopefully it's going to ignite something in them so that they're going to want to continue to give back outside of these opportunities on their own. They're going to become these community citizens.
Right. All right. That's great. And so I think it's about, you know, explaining to the people that run these events to just, you know, include that as a, you know, a part of the checklist of things to do, because it's not that difficult. Doesn't take that much time, but a lot of people just don't think to build that in. So I think you know, explaining that to people, getting that message out would be helpful there. So in shifting just a little bit, earlier you were talking about you know, creating this program in the federal government, and we've been talking about the UN Sustainable Development Goals and Impact 2030, and it just got me thinking then about measurement, because the program that you're building has a, you know, a lot of positive attributes to it and a lot of reasons why you did it. But one thing I think that can come out of it also is the ability to measure. So I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely, because measurement is, while very, very challenging, it's essential. It's essential so that we know the impact of what we're doing. And I know that, like you mentioned, with the Impact 2030 and the Sustainable Development Goals, that's a huge piece of it too, is how will we know that we've achieved these goals and that we're making progress towards them through the efforts that we're having. So for our look, so we are taking three different lenses with our measurement. That's how we have it set up. So the first lens is for the organization. So even though we're federal sector, you know, we have to be accountable to our taxpayers and our overseers, and we have to make sure that when we're instituting a program, it does have return on investment and it does have value. So there has to be kind of that business case, if you will, even within the federal sector. So I can relate a lot to private companies with that, because we have to do a similar thing. So for the business case, looking at that organizational perspective, that's where we bring in the human capital piece. So we're looking at, from hire to retire, what is the benefit of volunteering on human capital? So for recruitment, we want to be able to look at that. So as we're, you know, implementing our recruitment strategies and we're offering this new benefit of being able to volunteer, we want to find out, how intriguing is that? There's a lot of studies that, you know, millennials are more likely to work for an organization that gives back to the community and that has a, you know, social enterprise flair to it. So we want to build that into our recruitment strategies, as announcing that benefit, offering it, and then kind of, you know, gauging from folks when we hire them on, was that kind of a deciding factor for them? Did that influence their decision to come and work for us? So from the recruitment side, we want to build in some metrics on that end. From training and development, we obviously want to look at that. So we, while we're kind of doing these one-off opportunities right now, as the program, you know, becomes more formalized, we really want to look at building this into our development programs and our leadership programs, specifically in the realm of succession management. So when we look at succession management, a lot of times, you know, we'll prepare employees, we have them on a bench for a senior level position, and we've identified their development plan for what they need in order to be ready to assume a senior position when it opens up. But the development needs that they have, we may not have an experience in-house to give them. So we talk a lot about, you know, okay, I know that Joe needs, you know, these two experiences in order to be fully ready to assume the senior position, but there's no open positions for me to put him in-house. So that's when I can look at leadership volunteer experiences. How can I kind of develop these in-place assignments for him and these assignments in the community to develop those? So we really want to look at, you know, as we incorporate it into the development programs, is that increasing competency in different areas that people need? Are these effective development experiences for them? So that's a piece that we're going to look at. Engagement, that's kind of the realm of my dissertation. So looking at, you know, is it increasing people's well-being and job satisfaction and morale and engagement when they go out and they volunteer? So specifically, kind of the angle that my research looked at was the impact of volunteering on organizational commitment. So that's associated with retention. So looking at how much my values align with the values of my organization, and that increases my loyalty and my effective commitment to the organization.
Right.
So really looking at that whole engagement piece. So our agency, similar to industry, we do an annual climate survey across the federal government. And so we're going to work to add some questions in there to kind of gauge, you know, who's volunteering and can we track, is that increasing the engagement level of our employees who volunteer? So just that whole kind of recruitment, training, engagement, retention, human capital package of that hire to retire model. So that's our kind of internal measurement strategy for the organization. We also want to look at the satisfaction of the volunteer experience for our employees. And you and I already talked about how important that is. So after every volunteer event, we send out a survey to employees asking them, you know, how was your experience? What were your expectations going into it and were they met? Did you have any of your assumptions kind of upturned? So were any of your, you know, thoughts or behaviors changed as a result of this? How likely would you be to volunteer with this organization again? And how likely would you be to volunteer at all again? So kind of gauging their exposure. And have they ever volunteered before? So we really want to know, is this the first time they're going out? A lot of times what we see, at least in industry, and I'm curious to see how it unfolds as we move this into the federal space, is a lot of times the first exposure employees are having with volunteering is through these corporate volunteer programs.
Yeah.
So it's neat to look at, have they ever gone before, and then how impactful was this experience, and is it going to lead them to want to continue on? So we look at the employee as well. We want to make sure that they are having a good experience. That's the most important part because that's going to ripple into those human capital benefits that we talked about. And then we also survey the nonprofit because we want to make sure that our partner on the other end is getting a good experience as well. So we have a survey that we send out to the nonprofit after every event, and we ask them to fill that out. And it's basically asking them, you know, what was the impact of the volunteers that we sent out to them? How did that contribute to their mission? Were the volunteers professional? Did they accomplish what they were asked to accomplish? And kind of, again, how satisfied are they with their volunteers? Would they host our volunteers again? And then just any recommendations they may have from a process standpoint. So did everything flow smoothly? Is there anything we could have done on our end to make it go more smooth for them? So we also ask them just that programmatic question as well. So we try and look at those three angles to really look at the experience. What is the agency getting back? What are the employees getting out of it? And then what is the nonprofit getting out of it? And I'm sure as we keep going with this, we'll find more things to look a little bit more long-term at the outcomes, because a lot of these are still kind of that reactionary, how is the experience today type of measurement.
Right. It sounds like you're doing a very thorough job of measuring that piece. And so you're alluding to then measuring outcomes. You know, will there be a sort of measurement piece plugged in that relates it back to SDGs or Impact 2030? What are the outcomes of these efforts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our hope long term, is to really get that out there. The big thing with the Sustainable Development Goals, as you know, is right now it's that marketing piece. It's getting people just familiar that this exists. So one thing that we've done within the federal sector, so we approached our overseers with the Sustainable Development Goals, and our hope is in the next couple years that will be integrated as part of our combined federal campaign. And so that's really going to increase that exposure and marketing to nonprofits so that they're aware of the goals, they're able to start tracking what they're doing against the goals, which will then help us track kind of when we send employees out to support your mission, you know, how is that aligning as well? And then we look at that too internally. So from the few opportunities we've done, we kind of know which buckets it's falling in. But we know, you know, if I send 20 employees out for 4 hours, you know, how am I really expressing the impact of that towards meeting a sustainable development goal? So that's the challenge, is looking at, you know, what's our piece, what's the nonprofit's piece, and together, you know, as we do more and more of these cross-sector partnerships, how are we as a team kind of moving the needle on these goals through all of our individual actions? How do all of our little bits kind of add up to those big bits that really push these goals forward? So that's definitely going to be a challenge we'll all continue to tackle moving forward.
That's great. Looking a little bit more long-term, it seems like there is momentum here, and it seems like the work that you're doing, people are receptive to it, and people are kind of asking for this sort of thing, organizations, corporations. Can you talk a little bit about what you see 3, 5, 10 years from now as this kind of trend continues?
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what I would love to see, and I'm going to hope that, you know, all of us champions for social good are going to get us there. Really a microcosm of what we saw at the Impact 2030 Summit. I was facilitating our Southeast Asia group, and out of that, we all kind of formed this agreement that we were going to form a complete action team that had two nonprofits, three companies, and myself kind of starting it and then opening up to anybody else who wanted to join. And it's this idea that I like to think of it as almost like a fusion center, where you're really getting together partners from a community and looking at, you know, what are the biggest community needs and how can we bring our assets to bear upon that. So the action team we formed was a little bit different because we were we're going to put out grand challenges to the youth in Southeast Asia and ask them to come up with sustainable solutions to social challenges that are happening in Southeast Asia, which is a beautiful model, and I really loved it because the best people who are going to have solutions are the local folks, right? So we learn a lot from especially like disaster volunteering that all change has to begin and end locally. You can get outside help, but for it to be sustainable, it has to happen at that local level, because eventually the people in the local communities are going to have to be the ones to sustain it on and out. So it's really got to look at that local perspective. So I like that concept of kind of issuing these challenges out to the community, finding out, you know, what are those innovative ideas that people in the community have that they want to implement, and then using the nonprofits and the corporations to support them with those with that implementation, with assets and, you know, resources, employee volunteers, funding, you know, whatever it is. So it's kind of like we're all coming together as a family to say, we want the world to get better. Here's a huge challenge in the area. How can we all bring our assets to bear and move the needle and make that work? Because right now, I don't think there's a lack of goodness in the world, right? There's over a million nonprofits in the world. There's, you know, tons of organizations and companies, and lots of state and local and federal resources. And there's a lot of programs that are doing a lot of really, really good work. But oftentimes, again, it's just like we were talking about with us as employees, we kind of get stuck in our own little world, right? We're doing our mission, we're working hard in our area, and we oftentimes just don't take the time to kind of come up for air and look broader and look across the whole context. So I think that's what I would love to see in the next few years, is just this idea of these like local fusion centers that would pop up and really kind of bring folks together from all the different sectors to look at communities, look at their biggest needs, and how they can all come together with an integrated strategy to help make it better.
Yeah, that's really nice. You bring up a few important notions there. I think one that I think there are people out there sort of waving their arms around, like, that have solutions and want to help and be a part of something, and they don't know where to plug in. Others, you know, find ways to plug in, and I think now we are, you know, in a state where it's a sort of DIY kind of attitude. But then that kind of goes to your second point, that people do need to sort of pick their heads up and look around them and see what else is going on. And that's something from Impact 2030 that I took away, that even large organizations think, all right, I'm going to go and try to solve this problem. And they first won't stop and see, well, who else is working on this problem? You know, is there a federal organization working on it, a state organization? Is there another company or a nonprofit before I sort of charge at this thing? And so I think, you know, those two notions that you bring up, those are things to solve for. And I think that once we do, there will just be a lot more collaboration and a lot less kind of duplicative work and stuff like that.
Absolutely. There's plenty of people doing great work. It's just bringing it all together and harnessing all that energy collectively really makes some good things happen.
All right. Well, Becca, is there anything else you'd like to add before we conclude?
I think we've covered a big scope. So really looking at, you know, creating those transformational experiences for your employees, looking at how it benefits your organization from that human capital perspective. And then, like we said, while we're all acting locally, how can we think more globally and really lift up and see all the things that are going on and integrate and create those cross-sector partnerships and help realize the sustainable development goals. So I think that's one of the things I love about the sustainable development goals. It's a platform to unite all of us, no matter what community we're from, what sector right. we're from. They're global goals. They're for everybody. They're for every sector mm-hmm. to make the world a better place. So yeah, act locally and think globally.
All right, great. A really great thought to end on. So Becca, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, I really enjoyed our conversation. For our listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Champions for Social Good. You can connect with Rebecca Harden on LinkedIn, and you can follow her on Twitter at Enlighten4Me. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. And keep up with the conversation between episodes by following us on Twitter at Jamie Serino, at MicroEdge LLC, and at BlackBod. Thank you for listening.